Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Grind, the realest show ever. Real people, real life, real insight. We bridge gaps through unscripted conversation, improvising, adapting, and overcoming life's obstacles. There is life outside of the box. Take a chance on you today. Enjoy the show.
You've got to say yes to your life. You've got to say yes. Yes to my dreams. Yes to me. Yes, I can make it. Yes, I can. Doesn't matter how many failures I've made. Doesn't matter how many mistakes I've endured. Doesn't matter about my defeats. Doesn't matter about what I've done. Yes. You've got to say yes to your life.
Yeah.
Remember that you can. Welcome. Great morning, grinders. Welcome to the Grind, the realest show ever, unscripted conversation. Guys, we say what people are thinking typically on this show, but wanted to take a moment to say thank you to all of my faithful listeners. Thank you for chiming in. We're going to do something a little different this morning, just a little bit different. Definitely want to get into some very juicy stuff, but I want to try and do some experimentation here this morning. You guys write down a number for me, if you would. The number to the Grind line, I want you guys to go ahead and text me on that line. I'm going to try to open up for some comments and some questions toward the end of the show. So go ahead and formulate those questions and comments or whatever you want to say. Remember, this show is live. It's raw. It's unscripted. But the raw doesn't mean we get on and we curse and we say all sorts of crazy things. But nonetheless, you are free to voice your opinion tastefully. All right. So the number to the Grind line is 678-744-6188. Go ahead and start texting that line. Text me your name if you would like. Definitely text me your name and the area code that you're calling in on, so I can make sure I see it on the switchboard and I know who to actually unmute. So guys, you know, again, thank you for dialing in and chiming into the Grind. However, you're either dialing in or you're on your computer. And you're listening to it right from your desk at work, or you're listening to it from home, wherever you are. Welcome, guys. And, you know, I want to really be transparent, as I always am, you know, on this show. You know, this show was a brainchild of mine for quite some time, and I procrastinated for a long time about actually starting it. And there were some things that ran through my mind that kept me from starting it. You know, some of those things were, people may not want to hear, you know, what I have to say, or people may get offended about what I'm going to say or what I may say. You know, I may lose some friends, or I may lose some people that I thought were my friends, or, you know, some people just may get pissed off at me and not want to talk to me anymore. But you know what? There's always something that's going to be in the back of your mind. There's a good voice and there's a bad voice. The good voice is always telling you, go for it. That bad voice is always the real cautious one, the one that doesn't want to take any risks, the one that just wants you to do the bad stuff, or the stuff that's not going to propel you to the next level, the stuff that's not going to profit you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So, you know, so I decided to listen to the good voice, the voice that says, you know what, take some risks, you know. And the conclusion that I came to was, you know what, I really, really don't care what people think about what God gives me to say. Because in a lot of cases, people hear things that I say and they know they're true. They hear things that people are going to say on this show and they know they're true. But at the end of the day, people need to deal with the truth of who they are and not worry about what someone else is really saying. You know, I said on social media today, I said, you know, I said, this show is gonna offend some people that are easily offended. You know, the people that walk around, you know, with their emotions on their sleeve, you know, the people that walk around that can't really handle the truth of a thing. They want to sugarcoat it. They want to keep that mask on. They don't want anybody to know that, you know, what's going on under that mask. That feels good, you know. So, you know, I said, put on your steel toe boots, because they're going to be some toes stepped on. Have you ever known that person? There's a group of people out there that every time you're talking, you're saying something, they always think you're talking about them. It's God. Why is he talking about me? Why is she talking about me? You know, why he always got to get on his show and talk about me? Why is it always about you? How about there's always somebody out there that identifies with what's being said? And if that person is you, if you identify with what's being said, then maybe that what's being said is for you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I've always said, don't get mad, just fix it. It's a very simple thing. You know, I'm not a very outward emotional person. I can be very, very emotional on the inside. You know, I'm ex-military, guys. You know, we were taught to, you know, especially with those of us that have been to a wartime situation, we were taught to take those those emotions that would render us weak from the outside and bury them somewhere on the inside so that you can accomplish the task at hand. So that's what I learned to do. But, you know, over the years, after being out of the military, you know, I've learned to express those emotions and express some of those emotions outwardly, because, you know, you have to be careful some of the things that you express outwardly, because some people, you know, take your emotions or your caring for weakness, and it's not that at all. So we have to know, guys, that no matter what we do in life, there's always going to be things that are said. There's always going to be things that we don't agree with. There are going to be some things that we agree with. There are always going to be people that we feel are talking about us. But you know what? I'm not making any excuses or any reparations for any of that, you know, on this call. I couldn't call this show The Realest Show Ever if it wasn't The Realest Show Ever. All right. So we're sticking to that. And this is The Realest Show Ever. And whatever you get from this show is for you. All right. If it's not for you, then go ahead and pass it along to somebody else. Just keep letting it go by. All right. So here's what I've determined in life. There are three types of people in life. There are winners, losers, and the people that haven't discovered how to win yet. Winners, losers, and people that have not discovered how to win yet. All right. And that's just bottom line. Those are the three categories that we effectively deal with. The winners, you know who they are. All right. Because we're dealing with the truth. All right. We're dealing with the truth of you. All right. So nobody get mad. And if you do, then, you know, suck it up. So here we are. You're dealing with the truth, and the winners are the people that you know them. You see these people all the time. You know, I was talking to my friend this morning, and I said, you judge a tree, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Now, you know, all fruit's not good fruit. Some fruit's bad fruit. It's deformed, it's distorted, it's rotten on the inside. It may look good on the outside, but it's rotten on the inside. And let me back up a little bit, because that's a whole nother can of worms, as they would say. But you know a tree by its fruit. So we identify the winners by what they're doing, by their fruit, all right, by the truth of who they really are. Who have you gotten to know this person to even know that they're a winner? So there are certain ways that you identify with this person to know who they really are, not just outside, but on the inside as well. People that, you know, that have taken their mask off, and are they transparent? Are they really sharing things with you that are going to help you move, you know, to the next level or not? So those are the winners. The losers, we know them by their fruit also. You know, they just got bad fruit. They just don't do anything right. They don't want anything in life. You know, they've never really aspired to anything in life. And they just listen to that little bad voice all the time. It's never the little, they've already thumped the good voice off their shoulder, and they're headed down a road, you know, to destruction. But are they? Because the third person is the people that haven't discovered how to win yet. So winners, losers, and the ones that haven't discovered. So we can say that the losers are typically could be people that haven't discovered how to win yet. It's going to take them a longer time to figure that out. But there are people that are genuinely confused. All right. And if you deal with certain things in your life, and let me just say this, I want to veer off a little bit, because I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and it was a positive conversation. And then, you know, and that's pretty much all I really want in my space. It was a positive conversation. Then all of a sudden, you know, the person started to gossip and started to talk about something else. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, how this conversation get to that point, because I don't need this negativity, you know, in my space. So, you know, I've determined, guys, that if you deal with a constant element of drama in your life, okay, and this is one of those Toastmasters, so take it, all right, and drive on. If you deal with a constant element of drama in your life, then that means that you're either the originator, the actuator, or the perpetuator of that drama. You're the originator, the actuator, or the perpetuator of that drama. So that means either you're starting it, you know, either you're the person, the catalyst, the thing that kind of like propels it forward to the next level, or you're the person that keeps picking at the wound, the perpetuator, the person that won't let it go, that turns it into something that's really not. So you're either one of those three people. And what I'm going to say to you on this call, on this show right now this morning, is that you have to take a stand. Take a stand. Don't don't fit into either of those categories. If you're not the person that somebody can run to and gossip to, then you can't be the actuator and you can't be the originator. You most definitely can't be the perpetuator, right? So you're set apart in a totally different group of people, so you look a little odd. You look a little odd. You look like you're not playing, friendly. You look like, you just don't fit in. I said that we're odd and peculiar people. We'd be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Of course, that's what happens. You want to be a part of the multitude on the road to the death and destruction, or do you want to be a part of the people that are on the straight and narrow path? I'd rather be a part of the straight and narrow. But when you're part of the straight and narrow, people can't figure you out. When you're really, really positive all the time, you don't let any nonsense into your circle, you stand for something, you don't compromise yourself, people call you odd and peculiar. Something's wrong. What's going on with them? So what happens? Let's jump back on where I just wanted to veer off a little bit, guys, because I believe it's relevant for, for where we are right now, that we understand that aspect, okay, in order for us to move forward. So let's talk a little bit about our network, because that's what I really want to talk about today. I want to talk about your true network. I don't have any guests. You guys are my guests today, and I want to open up the lines for comments because I really want to hear from you guys, and I want to hear what you guys have to say. All right, I want to give you guys a voice right here on the grind. All right, so this is Freedom Tuesday. You guys can say what it is that you've been feeling and punch fear in the face this morning. But let's talk about your network. What's your true network? Because your true network is what defines you, right? Your true network are the people that you actually influence, right? These are the people that you can influence. All of your life lessons, good or bad, were basically meant to be shared in some way, shape, form, or fashion with your true network, through a certain level of transparency. Can we all agree with that, right? So your true network are the people around you that are influenced by you and your experiences. You guys write that down. All right, I don't want you to miss that. Your true network are the people around you that are experiencing and that are affected by, that are influenced by your life experiences, so to say, all right? But they're not controlled. They're influenced by you. You don't control them. They influence. You influence them, right? How do you influence them? But look, here's the newsflash. If you don't have anyone that you can share your life experiences with on a level of transparency and have it reciprocated, and guys, you may not have a true network. Why do I keep putting the word true beside network? Because there is a true network, as I said, are the people that you influence, not just the people that follow you, not just the people that like your stuff out of a sense of obligation, not just those people, not just the people that want to be around you because they want something from you. Now, I mean, what's your true network? This is the truth of you, all right? Because there's a common misconception about who or what, a person's network really, really is. So let's take it to something else. Well, no matter what field of expertise, we got a lot of professional people that listen to this call. A lot of people that maybe, just from home-based business entrepreneurs. Hats off to all my entrepreneurs out there, doing what they do, grinding and getting it done, guys, creating a legacy for them and their family. Hats off to you guys. But no matter what your field of expertise, guys, there's a network. There's always a network. And is it safe to say that a network of tangible objects can be programmed to basically comply to whatever you program it to? Well, up until the point of failure, of course, up until that tangible item fails, like a stoplight or circuit relay or junction of cable boxes. Until it fails, then it's programmed to comply. A network of people, they have a similar makeup, right? It's a similar makeup, but think about this. There's that one thing that makes the parameters or the guidelines unstable, and it's that one word, that choice. That choice, that's the variable that allows a person to do what they want, when they want, and how they want it. And guess what? You can't do anything about it, and there's no absolute guaranteed prediction on the outcome the majority of the time with choice and with people. It's a moving thing. It ebbs and it flows. But choice is indeed that variable that bucks against the control that people try to have over other people. But control is temporary. Influence is actually foundation. Influence is foundational because it doesn't violate choice. Influence is foundational because it does not violate choice. So if it doesn't violate choice, then that means, the thing that's doing the influencing is going to have to genuinely influence. The choice will be made to not be a part of a network. So who are you influencing? How are you influencing those people? Now, who truly respects what you say or what you do? Truly respects what you say or what you do out of a sense of good, wholesome influence and not control. And ask yourself, why? Why do they listen to me? Why are they influenced by me? Why do they respect me? So let's deal with what the truth of who a person's network really is. You know, I can remember back when I was in corporate America, and I led a team of engineers at any point in time from 10 to 12 people. And, you know, we would all sit down and brainstorm and network the engineer, whatever market I was in. You know, if there was a time when I networked the engineer for the entire state of Georgia. You know, there were other cities. I've been to cities all around the world, guys. I've been to different cities, and I've basically been able to help mold and sculpt the networks of all of those different places into basically comply to those different parameters. But when I was in corporate America, when I was at a certain company in particular, I can remember there was a merger. And in that merger, you know how as well as I do, in that merger, it brings on not just the company and the financial assets, but it brings on the people also from another company. So they were bringing in people from another company, and they were putting them in positions that they really weren't suited for, but they had to do something with them. So they were upper management in that position, so they brought them over here to this position. And I can remember being passed up for a role, you know, to be over an entire group or team or section, much larger than what I was, and because they brought other people in. So this person, instead of this person really, gelling and melding with the people that were there, the leaders that were already there, that person decided to exert a certain amount of control, of positional control. And what happens is the true leader in any group or any team is the person that the people follow. So every time this one that was set in would say that tell the team to do something, they would all come to my desk and ask me, you know, if this is something that they should do or how should they really do it. So the true leader or the true network that you have are the people that you influence through your actions, through your integrity, through your humility, through your level of expertise about a thing or subject matter, right? So, you know, influencing people is all about what you do. And you know, what causes a person to be ineffective or to basically lose respect? I used to sit back and I'm like, wow, what's wrong with this guy? Why does he understand that, you know, he needs to lead a different type way? But then I started to really, really get it, because what really affects a person sometimes is trying to figure out who they are. You know, there's a level of narcissism in there. And you know what narcissism is? A person that's really, really selfish, a person that's consumed with themselves, a person that's consumed with how they look, a person that's consumed with, you know, what you can do for me. Everything's attached to what you can do for me. It's my way or the highway. I don't listen to what anybody else is saying. It's my way. And if you don't like my way, then you don't have to be here. And that's how it, and that's a level of narcissism or a lack of respect for their own natural ability to influence through, as I said, integrity and humility, right? So as people trying to evolve, guys, we sometimes tell ourselves what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. All right, guys, the toes is getting ready to get stepped on, so y'all don't get mad, all right? Y'all don't get mad. Just fix it, all right? Just fix it. All right, so we sometimes tell ourselves what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. Guys, let's take it one step further. Let's take it one step. I need to turn this thing off because the noise is bothering me. But all right. So let's take it one step further. Let's get into what I call the kiss of death, because you know, when you start believing what you tell yourself is right as opposed to what is actually right, that's the kiss of death. That's a level of narcissism. When you start going through life and you start creating things the way you think they should be, and they go against the natural flow of things in terms of what's right and what's wrong, integrity, humility, what I say is what it is, then you get to a point to where you start believing, you start to, the lies compound. You can't keep up with the lies. You're deceitful. You're in the background of everything. You're trying to piece pieces and parts together that you shouldn't be even putting your hands on. You're in everything. You're just like a fly that runs around and goes on a piece of poop and lands on everybody else. You're crapping on everybody, right? So the kiss of death here is you start believing your own lies, and then you get caught up, you know, in this fallacy and this fantasy world instead of the world of reality and clarity. Who wants to be caught up in that, guys? You should want to be focused and figure out what am I, who am I, and what can I do to move myself to the next level, the truth of who you are. People go through life in this thick fog because they won't deal with the truth of themselves, and that's not just in life, that's in business as well. Life and business. You can create something that looks great from the outside looking in, but on the inside, this is rotten as the day is long. So what is the truth of what's really going on? That goes back to that purpose and the foundation that I've been talking about. The foundation of a thing is what the thing is. You can't change it. You can fix it to be a stronger foundation, and you can build anything from it, but what's the real truth of it? That's the foundation. So it's in life and in business. So, but let me, for all of the people that think this is not them, you know, that says, you know, I'm this and I'm that, guys, this mindset can happen at any given time, on any given day, to any given person. No one is perfect and above this mindset. No one. But here's the difference. The difference is how often you are there, how quick you realize that you're there, and how fast you smash it. Ah, there's the key. It's about recognition. How fast do you know? How often are you there? Are you there like 27 times a day? Or those thoughts just come, you know, two or three times a day? You know, and you realize that, boom, lickety split, and then you smash it. No one is perfect. No one. It happens to the best and the most powerful. Money is no respect of this either. Power, no respect. I can tell you right now that I'm sure that President Obama went through a lot of this while he was in office for 8 years. So it happens to the best and the most powerful. Here's how I look at life. Life is like golf. I, you know, and those of you that know me, you know I love golf. Why do I love golf? Because golf is a thinking man sport. And all of you sports enthusiasts and athletes, don't get mad, because yeah, I know every sport you have to think. I get it. But I'm relating it to golf. This is my show, so I'm relating it to golf. You get your show, you can relate it to whatever you want to relate it to. But I love golf. So I say that golf is a thinking man sport, and golf is a game of correction. And in golf, on a round of 18, you get a 72, par 72, 74, 76, whatever, it depends on how long the course is. You're never going to hit 72 or 76 great, outstanding, and amazing shots. You got to be able to recover, because you're going to hit some balls in the woods. You're going to hit some balls in the sand trap. You're going to hit some balls short. You're going to hit some balls over the green. But you got to be able to recover. How well do you recover in life? It's life and business. Nobody's perfect. But these mistakes, ladies and gentlemen, these mistakes and failures that we have, it makes us better. Is it safe to say it makes us better? It shows us that we're evolving. You know, we grow. and other people can identify with, which basically creates that network of people that know the real you. That you're not perfect. That sometimes things irritate you a little bit, but you identify, you recognize, and you smash. Guys, the evolving piece of this is what really drives me. It really does. You know, the mental or the spiritual battles that we go through is where, and they're all won in our minds. And we fight them every day, multiple times a day. Know your enemy and their weakness and equip yourself with the weapons to be victorious and battle. I can remember when I was in Kuwait and we're in the tank and it's, you know, the war's on. You know, so now I'm trying to grasp the reality. I got to actually get shot at. And I got to shoot back at somebody. So I had to take the mentality that, you know what, it's either them or me. Either I'm going home or and they're not, or either they're going home and I'm not. And I was, it was going to be me going home. So I decided at that point that I had to buck up and figure out what was the weakness of our enemy. Well, we knew that, you know, that the guys weren't being fed out in Kuwait. Their armies that were out in the field, they weren't being fed. They were hungry. Saddam Hussein had put them out there in the desert and forgotten about them. He was just concerned with the Republican Guard, the ones that were protecting, you know, Kuwait City. He forgot about the people that were out there in the field, the people that were hurting, the people that needed him to come out and say, you know what, I understand, I get it. You know, here's some food for you. He forgot about them. So we had to exploit that weakness to be victorious in that battle. So we went out and we took MREs. For all my military heads, you know that that's meals ready to eat. We took out cases and cases and cases of MREs. And what are the main things we did? We threw some bullets down range. Yeah, we knocked some people back. We shot some tank rounds. We shot some missiles. We did a lot of stuff. But at the end of the day, the most powerful weapon that we had were those MREs, because somehow they knew what they were. And when we started to pass them out, people started to lay down AK-47s and started to come to get food. So we figured out what the weakness was of our enemies, and we used that. So guys, you know, let's talk about the mindset. You know, I went to the gym yesterday, and I got in the gym, all the way up to the gym. You know, I made sure that, you know, before I went, I took my Pro Shot. You know, that's an amazing protein supplement, a collagen protein supplement that we have over here at Total Life Changes, just came out. That's just like killing the game, you know, giving you that protein. Guys, I took that protein supplement and I started to feel amazing. But when I got to the top of the steps, all of a sudden didn't feel like working out. My mind said, go back down the steps and get a smoothie. I could have tricked myself into believing that the day wasn't a good day and I could basically make that day up tomorrow, right? Don't think I haven't done that before. I've done that before, but every time I've done that, I've never really accomplished what I went in there to accomplish. So my mind started to think back on all the things that I could be doing that didn't actually involve pain. You know, I wasn't sore or anything, you know, from being in the gym previously, because I had taken 3 days off because we went to Raleigh. You know, for me, right at that moment, guys, it was mental pain. And see, this is me. I want to be transparent because you guys need to be able to identify, because a lot of you go to the gym or whatever you're doing in life and you just don't feel like doing it. You don't feel like being there. You're like, wow, this is not for me. It was the mental pain that you're in, because my body was fine. It was time for me to adjust my comfort zone, because I had got comfortable by the time I got to the top of the steps and saying I was going to go downstairs and get this smoothie and get back in the truck and go home. So in that instance, my body was actually stronger than my mind. Why didn't I want to work out? I actually lost power because I started to focus on the reason why I shouldn't, as opposed to the reason why I should. And I never want to have that type of regret, because when you regret stuff, that puts you in a zone, and that in that zone you can't grow. There's no results, no growth in that zone. So my weapon for this battle, you know, guys, was internal motivation. You know, I told my husband, when will it be a good time to actually get started your workout for the week, Nate? When are you going to start? When are you going to get started for the week? That answer could have been out tomorrow. But if I allow distractions to come in and pull me off of my goal, then the price for that would have been failure. I started to talk to myself, and I started to force my mind to come in subjection to my body. That was a rarity for me. It's typically my body is hurting and my mind is willing. But that day, my mind had to come in under subjection to my body. I had to focus on the positive instead of the negative. I focused on what I was going on the game. If I worked out today, what will you get, Nate, if you work out today? See, we can't keep looking for that external motivation, guys. We need to be driven by our own internal motivation. Heck, alarm clocks shouldn't wake you. Your passion, your goals, your hunger, all of that is what should actually wake you in the morning, right? When we get on the right track, I'm going to tell you something that some of you may not know right now, but when you get on the right track, the pain becomes positive motivation. You look forward to the pain. I notice Pam is looking forward to the pain now. She gets up and she puts on gym clothes right off the bat. She's like, let's go to the gym. She's bringing her body under subjection to her mind. She's creating the right atmosphere. I started to say things like, you know, guys, I deserve this. I deserve to have a great body. I deserve to reach my goals. Looks like everybody else in here. I refused to quit. I had to stop basically and reassess my goals, guys, and readjust my comfort zone, because my comfort zone I knew was my broke zone, my failure zone. You know, and I know I didn't need to be there. But guys, here's the good part. I didn't realize at the time that I was actually saying what I was saying, having this conversation with myself out loud. And you know what? Sometimes I speak out loud. Pam speaks out loud. You know, it's a study been made that, you know what? Some of the most intelligent people in the world, they speak out loud. They speak to themselves. All right. They rationalize things for themselves. So I started to have this conversation out loud with myself, and I didn't even know, or I didn't even consider that somebody could hear me. But people were hearing me at the top of the steps in the gym. And guess what? They got it. They got inspired. I could feel the atmosphere shift because I changed my altitude, my attitude. I actually started to set the temperature in the room instead of taking the temperature. I didn't lick my finger and stick it in the air and see which way the wind was blowing. I created the wind to blow the way I wanted it to grow. You know, George Bernard Shaw said, you know, people that get what they want in this life, they don't sit around and wait for the actual atmosphere to be what they want it to be, guys. They don't sit around and they look for those circumstances, but they don't wait for them. They go out and they create the circumstances that they want. So that morning, I had to create my own circumstances. So I had to reboot, guys, my mentality right there standing at the top of the stairs in the gym. I asked myself, why was I there? I blocked everything out at that point, guys. Everything out, and I went and I blasted through my workout. And I think one of the reasons mentally I didn't want to be there, because it was a leg day. And guess what? Because I set that atmosphere and that temperature, I had one of the best leg workouts that I have ever had. You see, you know, another thing that could slow us down, you know, and not really create the real network that we want, guys, not just the mental aspect of ourselves, but sometimes we control it and slow it down by our perception of ourselves. How do you feel about you? How is your self-esteem? Because God created each of us to have, you know, to be different, unique, and to fulfill a unique purpose. But get this, when we start to really assess the cost and start to really think about how people view us and how we view ourselves, and fear is, you know, fear of the unknown causes so much failure. People never get started. But understand this, grasp this. No one will remember the failures or your low self-esteem once you start failing forward backwards. Failure feeds success. I heard the saying, you know, nothing beats a failure but a try. True. You only fail if you fail to get back up. True. Think about people, great people that said yes and didn't turn back, that didn't quit. Reggie Jackson, he struck out 2,600 times in his career. No one remembers him for strikeouts. They remember him for his home runs. Thomas Edison, 1,000 failed attempts or experiments, he calls them. 1,000 failed experiments. Nobody remembered that. They just remember that he created the light bulb. He said 1,000. It was just 1,001 steps to create the light bulb. 1,001 steps. You talk about a positive mental attitude. Look at Fred Smith, the founder of Federal Express. His college professor in Yale told him that his transportation system, his idea for a reliable overnight delivery service just wasn't feasible. That means it wasn't achievable or attainable. How do you know what's achievable or attainable until you actually start doing it? Thank God he didn't give up. God knows how those packages would have actually got where they're getting today. I don't know who came first. FedEx, UPS, UPS, USPS, I don't know who came first, but I know somebody inspired somebody. I'm believing that Fred Smith inspired something that sparked all of these different courier systems that make our lives a lot easier. Even Albert Einstein, he didn't speak until he was 4 years old. He didn't even read a word until he was seven. One of the most profound minds in our era. So, guys, nothing is impossible. I love Muhammad Ali. I didn't, you know, I'm not a big boxing fan because there's something about, you know, a person and you're talking to somebody that you're listening to somebody that actually, you know, was a part of the post-boxing team in the military. You know, I went out, you know, started to try out for post-boxing and got to that point, and I'm like, this is a lot, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, then I realized that I don't want to get punched in the head repetitively. But Muhammad Ali, he was so positive, you know, and everything that he did was boom. This is you can't beat me. Do you know how good I am? His positive mental attitude, the internal motivation that he gave himself was profound. He said that impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world that they have been given rather than explore the power that they have to change it. Wow. We're talking about how you create a network of real people that are for you, real people that can grow with you, real people that can build with you, real people that are on the outside and on the inside, not just the shell of a network, but a nucleus of a network. And you got to start somewhere because everything starts with a vision, right? A man with man without a vision dies. So it starts with a vision. I can remember my best friend, Jeff Battle. He was on the show on the very first episode. You know, a lot of you wouldn't know he's a bishop, but he's one of the first black Navy SEALs. All right. He used to tell me about all the training that they went through and how rigorous it was. You guys know about the Navy SEALs and how hard it is to be a Navy SEAL. He said there was this brass bell that they had in the center of the complex, and all you had to do was ring that bell and you quit. The pain stopped, no more PT, no more cold beaches, no more logs, rolls, and carries, none of that. All you had to do was ring that bell. So, guys, if you want to change your life, the one thing that you can't do is ring that bell. How big is your vision? How big is your belief? Do you settle for being first to lose, or do you want to be the best? There's nothing wrong with unapologetically wanting to be the best at whatever you do. It's called reaching for the stars with the understanding that no means what is next. What's next for you? Where will you start? I believe that the biggest disability that a human being has is a lack of belief, in yourself, your future, your vision for a better life for yourself. Your true network is now being attracted to you by what you do, who you really are, and not just by what you say, fantasy or reality. It's time to grow, guys. It's time to grow into something that we really, really should be, something that we were really, really called to be, instead of growing into something that we've created that we know is just fantasy. So, you know, let me check the lines, guys, and I want to open up the lines so we can actually take some questions if we have any. All right, so let's see. So I want to go to see if I can find area code 419, and I'm gonna unmute caller 419. You know, this gentleman, you know, I know he's an amazing gentleman down there in Omaha, Nebraska, where it's super cold at. I want to unmute the line, you know, for him to have any questions or comments that he has. And this gentleman's name is Mr. Manifest Entity. Mr. Manifest, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, Coach Nick. Can you hear me clearly?
I hear you loud and clear, sir. You're live on the grind. Go ahead.
Live on the grind. Manifest life today. Early in the morning, ready to wake up and win. And I definitely want to, first of all, give, because I believe in the principle of honor and the principle of place, so I want to give respect where respect is due. And I just love the way you're listening to the Holy Spirit within you and how you're not just listening to it, but acting on it, how it's guiding and directing you. And I was up doing my meditations this morning, and I got into the Creative for Greatness group, and I seen that banner. And I was like, I want to hear, you know, the heart of the man that I aspire to be like, the one that has shown the tenacity and the growth and the discipline is becoming one of my favorite words now, because it shows what happens when consistency is applied to commitment. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, it starts with a choice, but what happens when consistency is applied to commitment and discipline has truly been an anchor for me to be able to kind of grow out of my shell. And I was thinking to myself, you know, there's so much that can be given to life. And I began to just work on recharging that battery and just like, what is the level of the charge of my battery that I'm functioning on now? Is it at 20%, 40%, 80%, 100%? Just to what degree is that battery charged? So as I'm listening to you this morning and I'm taking it in, yes, it feels good to be able to have somebody who can step on your toes, to be able to ask those right questions or give those right statements that make you wake up and say, oh, this is an area I do need to grow in, because I know what I want to give and I know where my heart and my intentions are. But there's another side of it that, how is it actually being perceived in the marketplace? How is it actually being received by another? And so that journey and that growth is remarkable. It is truly phenomenal and truly a blessing. So my question for you this morning, Mr. Coach Nate McCray, is at what point in your journey, in your struggle, in that growth process, did you realize that it's going to happen for me, it's inevitable that it's going to happen for me, but it's time for me to step up and take the lead, because now is my season and now is my turn? Where did you begin to identify? What were the type of people that you were around that maybe were instrumental in kind of bringing that insight out in you, that you were like, enough is enough, now it's my turn?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you so much, Manifest, for chiming in. You know, and that's a great question, because, you know, for me, it wasn't a bunch of positive people that I was around when I got my aha moment. And I know some of you can identify with that, because there's never a perfect moment. There's never a perfect moment when you're going to say, boom, this is it. But my aha moment was around a bunch of negative people, a bunch of narcissistic people that only want it for themselves. So at that moment, sitting at my desk in corporate America, I remember it vividly. You know, I was dealing with a situation, you know, where, you know, money was being spent and the budget was being blasted out, and was listening to the advice that I gave, being the foremost authority on what we were doing at that time. I most certainly didn't know it all, but knowing my area of expertise, you had some people that wanted to just be narcissists and just wanted to be seen from the outside and not do the work on the inside. So I let them fall. I let the budget get blown out, and I let them take the blame for it. And then at that point, I realized never again will I allow my creativity, who I am, to be stifled. Never again. And the only way I can do that is if I create for myself. If I can somehow, you know, manage my own destiny. And I couldn't do that sitting at a desk in corporate America. So I became psychologically unemployable, years and years ago. And I just worked my way out of the desk through a bunch of, you know, consistency and being diligent and trying to grow myself into a person, into a better person. And that journey continues. So thank you so much, Manifest, for chiming in. And so we got a few more minutes. I want to go to the great state of New Jersey, where it's cold. Also, this young lady happens to be a family, friend of the family. I want to bring her on, Ms. Hope Richardson. I believe I got the right number here. Hope, are you on the line with us? Okay. Okay, so I can't hear you, Hope. If that is you, I think I got the right line unmuted. Maybe you're muted. Hold on here. Okay, so Hope, text me again. We'll come back to you. And I think Hope is actually in Atlanta. You're in Atlanta. Okay, so text me again, Hope. I can't hear you. So we'll move on. Let's see who else we have here. Okay, so we have the 786 area code. So let's go here. And I believe this young lady this is Michelle Bartley, a beautiful spirit, beautiful soul. I love this young lady. Michelle, if you can hear me, you are live on the grind. Can you hear me? All right, so let's see, that's 1786. Okay, I got a couple of 786 numbers here, so let me come back. How about now, Michelle, can you hear me? All right, Michelle, can you hear me?
I can.
Got the right number. I hear you loud and clear, Michelle. You're live on the grind.
Hello, Ms. McCray. How are you?
I am awesome and amazing. Thank you for asking.
Okay. I just want to elaborate more on your description of personality disorder in regards to narcissistic people. But what was amazing when you mentioned it was making it clear in your lines of your work experience with people. But this is also my profession, so I find it quite interesting how you did not share how deep the personality of the person can be. For example, and the inadequacy to relate to people because they have this superior prestige or vanity and power. Because it's a personality disorder, they're unable to see what's really going on. So their defense mm-hmm. mechanism kicks in. But when you ask the question in regards to what is your network, network, mine is definitely working with mental health, working with people I can serve. So I found that for 21 years, and I worked with children with mental disorders and suffering with substance abuse. And I know that is my passion. That is my calling. I can always relate to them. I'm only a mother of one, and her time will come. And I'm hoping I will be an influence to her as I have been for so many years working with other people's children. Now, I believe I stepped out on faith back in August, and God put me into working with a substance abuse agency where it's faith-based, where I'm working with adults who are struggling with mental disorders as well as substance abuse. So what I find very interesting about your topic, it's you've clearly stated that it's not about money. It's not about money to be connected, to help. absolutely do we need money to survive. That's just a given. But if you're more connected with helping and working with people, it expands to do more for others. And you and your fabulous wife are consistently doing that. And what I admire about you guys as a couple is your consistency. I've been watching, following. I've known you guys for over a year. And I see that your number one thing for me, I take, is your consistency. What you say and what you do. Your actions. And whatever came to you in your spirit or how you came up with this platform for The Grind Show, it's absolutely amazing and fabulous. And I'm just hoping it'll be able to reach more people. I know, being from London, England, that it's easy for me to pick up the phone and give you your website or your phone number so other people have the opportunity to listen to this show. Because what I love, as I said, is that I know when they get off, it's empowerment, it's consistent, there's no negativity, and for those that find something wrong with it, well, they need to look within themselves and find out what is their unsatisfactory of what they heard, because they're obviously they're dealing with something internally that they're not able to express. So, again, fabulous show, and I look forward to listening to many more shows. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my voice.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Michelle. That was amazing, and I appreciate you calling in and elaborating, you know, on the mental health aspect, because you know pulling that together gave people a very good idea of why people become narcissistic, and this is the epitome of what this show is all about. You know, Michelle dialing in and basically, you know, sharing with us exactly, you know, why people are the way that they are. She elaborated on something and pulled it all together for us, you know, and man, I absolutely love that, because, you know, this is a show for the people, by the people, and you guys need to have a voice. You need to be able to reach out and reach somebody that helps. And if there's anything that's resonating with you on this show, that said on this show by me or the guests, you know, or the comments, you know, you take it. And if it offends you, then in some way, shape, form, or fashion, that means you must identify with a portion of what's being said. And that's great too, because if you identify, then maybe it's something that you can gradually start to grow and start to change. But the first step to that, the key is you have to first identify that it's you. If you stay in the kiss of death zone, then it's not going to work for you. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time that we have, thank you for listening in on The Grind. Thank you for all of my listeners that actually chimed in. That was amazing. I hope that something said this morning bridged some gaps with somebody out there. Join us right back here Tuesday and Thursday, every Tuesday and Thursday, on The Realest Show Ever. And remember, keep moving forward, ladies and gentlemen, because there's absolutely nothing worth seeing behind you. Have a great and amazing day, champions.
You've got to say yes to your life. You've got to say yes. Yes to my dreams. Yes to me. Yes, I can make it. Yes, I can. Doesn't matter how many failures I've made. Doesn't matter how many mistakes I've endured. Doesn't matter about my defeats. Doesn't matter about what I've done. Yes. So you've got to learn to stand up to yourself inside yourself and short circuit, override that conversation that's always going on. 85% of what that conversation will tell you is negative. It's negative. It will tell you you're tired when you really are not tired. It will tell you you can't do it. It will fill you with fear. So you've got to watch that conversation. And when you find it going on,